Grace. Grace be with all you that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. We'll pause here at the end of these festive spring services here in Cokato, reading this prayer that we have for one another, where the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Ephesians wrote on to them after he had spent and lived a few years there in the midst of that city with these words. The third chapter, beginning from the 14th verse. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I have very warm and precious memories growing up here in Cokato during the years of my youth. During those days, our spring services came a little bit later, and they were always known as the Pentecost spring service. I remember the warm services. I remember as a child, in between services, coming to this very cemetery behind us, walking in the midst of the pines, the wind whistling through the needles of the pines, warm. We have a good Heavenly Father, and he has certainly blessed us here these days for special services. Is always a very festive time. Visitors arrive, bring us joy into our midst. God sends his servants here to serve us. And we have been able to enjoy the simplicity and the wisdom of our Heavenly Father through his Word, spoken through the Holy Spirit. And I'll have to say myself, and I know that you agree with me, that it has been so good to sit here and to soak in this warmth of the southwest breeze of our Heavenly Father as his Word has touched our hearts again and again, comforting, uplifting, reassuring, reminding us it pays to believe. It pays to cling to this begun faith that has been gifted unto us by our Heavenly Father. For indeed, He has called each one of us by name. He has chosen us to be His children. And He has preserved us in living faith to this day. Solely by His grace and mercy and abundant love. There's much history behind this epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Indeed, the time that he spent there, when he first arrived there, there was not one believer there in that city, a vast city. If I remember right, it was a metropolitan area of some 200,000 people, a seaport city, very wicked, very evil, and many travelers arrived there. For indeed, in the midst of that city was what was known as one of the ancient wonders of the old world, wherein a temple was built for this false god, Artemis, the god of fertility. And within those walls and gardens surrounding that temple, in the name of religion and in the name of God, sin abounded. This is where the Apostle Paul arrived and began to preach the message of the gospel as we have heard here these days. That wonderful and gracious message. It says in the Acts of the Apostles that there were many, many who received the grace of repentance. Not tens, not hundreds, but thousands of souls received grace. The Bible says, and so mightily grew and increased through the Word. Indeed, even the unbelieving historian, Jewish historian of that day, recorded of this happening when the Apostle Paul came, and as he preached there, day after day, week after week, month after month, that so many repented that the temple began, weeds began to grow in that massive structure. For they had no interest to go there, for they had received into their life something miraculous, the peace of God. And so the Apostle Paul here then wrote on unto those believers there in Ephesus, and now he is writing and reminding us, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Indeed, our Heavenly Father is the true Father of us all. And He calls us His children. And we live here in the kingdom of God, in the midst of this congregation mother, as we have so preciously heard here these days. This loving mother who cares for us." He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Yes, we have been fed and nourished once again by that heavenly manna from our Heavenly Father through His Spirit. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We have been able to rest upon the Word of God, and it has felt good. I remember another portion in the Old Testament where the children of God rested upon the word of our Heavenly Father. It was a time in the life of the children of God that a very troubled time, a time of warfare, the advancing armies of the Syrians had already come there into Israel and had captured already 43 of the cities. As the king had written, the general, Sennacherib, in his annals, that is in the history books today, he said that I have with battering ram and ramp captured 43 of the cities of Israel, and now we stand here before Jerusalem, and we have Hezekiah as a bird in a cage before us. The children of Israel awoke in Jerusalem that morning, and as they looked down from the walls of the city was surrounded with soldiers, 185,000 Assyrians ridiculing the living God. Hezekiah gathered his people into the streets. I'm going to read what he spoke unto them. It's recorded in that second book of the Chronicles. The 32nd chapter, 6th verse beginning. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably unto them, saying, Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And it says here, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. We also are besieged, dear brothers and sisters, that threefold enemy that surrounds us, beginning with our own sin, corrupt flesh, the unbelieving world, its enticements, and the enemy of the soul himself, who is continually tempting us and throwing obstacles in our way on this endeavor of faith. But we also have been comforted during these days. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed. We have a good Heavenly Father. God has said, I take no pleasure in the death of those who die. That spiritual death, an eternal death. No, He does not. God loves sin-fallen mankind. He desires that all would come on to repentance. This is His will. And certainly this is our prayer also for those of our loved ones who are in the darkness of unbelief, our unbelieving neighbors. Oh, how we pray on their behalf that God would bestow onto them of His grace, and that they also could come unto those footsteps of repentance. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote unto the Colossians in that second chapter, he said in this way, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And then he warns, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." It is so important, dear brothers and sisters, that we cling to this word of our Heavenly Father, this reassuring and promising word. Indeed, He has promised. It is recorded in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God has said, "I will never forsake you. I will never leave thee." And certainly we have that prayer for one another, that God would open unto us, that we'd be able to comprehend even in the little bit with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of this gift that He has granted unto us, that indeed we are called the children of God, that we are on the way to heaven. There is that 139th Psalm. I was going to read it out of the songbook. I wonder if somebody could bring me up a songbook, please. But we can read it out of the Psalms also. But that portion, thank you. That portion of that 139th Psalm, it speaks on to us of this wonder and this miracle that God has given unto us. And He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." And the songwriter, when he wrote in that 393rd song, he wrote in this way: "Your knowledge is too wonderful. My mind cannot attain it all. The depths of grace no man can sound, or its enormity expound. I shall declare your works of grace, and bow in awe before your face." That third verse. And this is what we also have experienced during these days. Again and again, God has, through His Word, opened unto us. The writer unto the Hebrews has written in the end of one of those chapters, that very short verse, and he says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Yes, the light of the Holy Spirit has certainly opened unto us, opened our hearts. Our hearts have been receptive unto that message that He has spoken. And even here in this same song, this 393rd, it says that speaking of our endeavor of faith, and every one of us has experienced how much in need we are of this grace of our Heavenly Father. Again and again we come to these living waters that flow from under that threshold, as we so preciously heard. And yet, when that grace abounds us, it is as if it surrounds us completely, and we cannot touch the bottom of that flowing river of grace that God extends onto us. And we swim as in that grace stream. It surrounds us totally. Again and again we have experienced. The enemy of the soul is powerful. Hezekiah reminded his, his, His people, the children of God of that day, yes, He is great. He had had with them 185,000 soldiers, but He reminded the children of God and us that with Him is the arm of the flesh. But we have something much greater. We have our living Heavenly Father. And so, as we have heard even of King David when he fell into those manifold sins, heavy, heavy, heavy sins that overtook him on his endeavor of faith, the sin of deceit, the sin of adultery, the sin of murder. How do you think, dear brother and sister, he was in heavenly places then? No, he was not. But did God forsake him? No, he did not. And even here, the psalm writer reminds us, and as the songwriter records here, he says, "If from your presence I take flight, I find I'm always in your sight." If to the heavens I arise, then I will meet you in the skies. And if I make my bed in hell, I never shall your face dispel. And as he says here in this 139th Psalm, he says that if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. It is good, dear brothers and sisters, that we can dwell here in God's kingdom. Oh how those sons and daughters of Korah, how they sang after their parents had been deceived by Satan and went into the depths of hell, died in unbelief. They sang unto the Heavenly Father, how amiable, how beautiful are thy tabernacles, O Lord. And as the psalm writer has said in that 27th Psalm, how one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Yes, when we look about us here in God's kingdom through the eyes of faith, we see the beauty of the creation of our Heavenly Father. We see dear brothers and sisters in living faith. And as the apostle has reminded us, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of good tidings of peace. Yes, this is what it is like in God's kingdom. But how, and as we have heard, how do those in unbelief look upon us here in God's kingdom? How do you suppose they looked upon that ark as the children of God climbed into that ark as the rains began to fall upon the earth, day after day, week after week, month after month, and finally that black and tarred vessel began to float in the water, and those unbelievers looked from the hillsides and from the mountains, all they could see was this ugly, tarred vessel, and yet it began to appear unto them as something that they wanted, but the doors of grace had closed. There was no time left. For indeed, the time of visitation had ended unto that first world. But yet those children of God that were in that vessel, it was a warm and beautiful vessel to be in. And so it is today no different. It is so wonderful to be here in God's kingdom. And yet we go and we go on the endeavor of faith, and so oftentimes then temporal life begins to overtake again. The temptations and the enticements of Satan become so great, And we find again and again that sin attaches and causes us to grieve. But we have such a loving Heavenly Father. He does not leave us there in that sin. No. Even as we heard how He sent Nathan unto King David who had fallen into those grievous sins, He did not leave him there in that spiritual death, in the depths of hell. No. But He reached out to him. So it was, dear brothers and sisters, with King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was lying on his deathbed. And God sent a prophet unto him and to preach the gospel to him, because King Hezekiah had grown in himself, and proudness had overtaken his heart, and he began to take the honor and the glory and praise unto himself, and not to give it unto the Creator of all things. And as he lay on his deathbed and the prophet approached him, what did he do? But he turned his face to the wall. And the prophet left sorrowfully from that chamber of the king. And as he was walking across the courtyard, God spoke unto the prophet and said, "Go, return unto Hezekiah. He has found the place of a child." Yes, as he was talking to God against that wall, he began talking first of what he had done, of his goodness, and God was able to give him understanding that we are nothing but dust. From dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. And when the prophet returned unto him and preached that gospel, oh, how Hezekiah, in the Bible says, and he repented from the proudness of his heart, and he received the grace of repentance, and he thanked and praised God. But he was so doubt-ridden. And here now, we had David who had fallen into the grievous sins on that left side of the way, and King Hezekiah who had fallen into the sins on the right hand. And dear brothers and sisters, as one brother reminded us, we are Pharisees. Our flesh desires unto ourself glory and praise and so on. And so Hezekiah also had fallen into that spirit of self-righteousness, but he received the forgiveness of his sins. And when he received forgiveness, he still had doubts, and he asked the prophet for a sign. Do you remember what that sign was? Remember, he was on his deathbed. And the prophet was going to there to remind him now that death was before him, to set thy house in order. And God gave him a sign. God, when He created the heaven and the earth, and He set the sun there where it is, and the earth where it is here, and when the earth revolves around the sun one time, 1 year has gone by, and He set the moon into the skies, and when the moon has revolved around the sun one time, 1 month has gone, and when God created the world, He created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. And so we got our weeks and our months and our years. But men struggled mightily with that before that was established. There were those who in the world thought that the earth revolved around the sun. They thought that the earth was flat. And so the wisdom of man is. But today, the sun arises in the morning, and then we have noon, and the afternoon, and evening, and night. Before there were clocks, men measured time with the shadows from trees and objects. and from the sun where the sun was in the sky. And Hezekiah was lying on his bed. And the prophet said, on the outside there was a sundial of Ahaz. And with that sundial, they were able to tell what time of day it was by the shadow on that dial. And he told Hezekiah that God will cause the sun to go back 10 degrees. Dear brothers and sisters, time stopped at that moment here upon the earth and began to go backwards. He had watched the shadows of evening lengthening on the dial and on the stairway outside of his chambers, and then he noticed the shadows begin to recede. God has also placed in his kingdom here the Son of Grace, which also goes counterclockwise, which washes away all those sins that have previously been committed. Such is our loving Heavenly Father. And yet I can't be without reading from that 38th chapter of Isaiah, where it speaks of this when the prophet approached unto him. And then it says here a little bit of what Hezekiah said. He said, "For peace I had great bitterness as he lay there after the prophet left in his sin. For peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind my back." And then he says, "For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, and they that go down into the pit cannot hope for the truth." But he says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth, and so on. And so we come to this day. These services are now ending. Our temporal life will continue. Dear brothers and sisters, the signs of the end are fast becoming fulfilled. We know that the end is not far. The Apostle Peter reminds us that he comes as a thief in the night. It pays to believe, dear brother and sister. Those early believers, when Jesus ascended into heaven, and he promised them, or the angel promised them, "In like manner he shall return again unto you." Already then and there they began awaiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus. There were those who sold their house and possessions and so on for the good of the work of the kingdom. But then time went on, weeks went on, months went on, years went on. And there were those who began to doubt and have heavy doubt. There were those then who denied faith and began to ridicule the believers because he had not come. And dear brother and sister, he is near. And as we have heard, indeed, he is here in our midst. He is in the hearts of his own. But his second coming is very, very close. How many believers have come and gone since that day when Jesus ascended into heaven? How many countless souls had preserved faith and died in living faith? The Apostle Paul had to remind those early believers of that mistaken thought that they had. And dear brother and sister, when we think of this, many of our loved ones have gone before us. Their life has ended here upon this earth. they close their eyes in living faith. To them, time no longer has a hold of. Time has completely ended. And as Jesus reminded us of the rich man and Lazarus, how when Lazarus died, he went and rested upon the bosom of Abraham in complete peace. But the rich man, he already began to experience the pangs and the pains of hell when he died there in unbelief. For indeed, he cried up and spoke to Abraham to please let him go and warn his brother of this place. Our loved ones who have gone before us, all those former saints that have passed in living faith, closed their eyes. And dear brother and sister, when they open their eyes, it is but a flick and a moment from that point to when they open their eyes as our Lord Jesus ascends here for the second time. Not then any longer as the Savior of mankind, but He comes as the Judge. The time of grace is yet open. And indeed, dear brothers and sisters, as the Apostle Paul even has reminded us, that is the only reason why we are here today. Because there are yet those chosen ones in the darkness of unbelief who are to be ushered here into the kingdom. But when the last chosen one enters, then our Lord comes for the second time. Oh, if there's one here who is without living faith, or in the hearing of this, who is in the darkness of unbelief, oh, harden not your heart, but believe this gospel that it belongs to you, just as it belongs to you, dear brothers and sisters, that all your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. It pays to believe, as we have heard here so preciously, to cling to this gospel. And dear brothers who have come to serve us, this is our prayer unto you and your family, as it is a prayer unto each one of us, that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with the might of His Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that He, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that He might be filled with the fullness of God, and so on. And so we thank you, dear brothers, for taking time to be here in our midst. But above all, we thank our Heavenly Father for the gifts that He has and He uses here in our midst, to uplift and to comfort and to reassure that the door and the way of heaven and salvation is open unto us. Yes, we have been able to experience here once again that plea of the psalm writer, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We have so much reason to thank God, dear brothers and sisters. And I also in need of this gospel, that can I believe my many doubts and fears and sins also forgiven. I certainly desire to believe with you. And it says here, "Now unto Him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And so it is, and so be it. All honor and glory goes unto our Heavenly Father. And we have such a loving Heavenly Father that He again and again extends His loving arms unto us, reminding us, "Come boldly unto the throne of grace in time of need to receive grace to help." Yes, this is how we experience here in God's kingdom of His grace and love. And we have much reason to thank Him. And not only that He has called us and chosen us, but above all, that He has preserved us here in living faith to this day. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, to grant unto us power and strength to endeavor yet for this day, that we can believe And that is all that we need to do. We need not be concerned with what tomorrow may bring us. As Jesus said, sufficient is the evil of this day. And so we desire to believe that simple message of the gospel, that your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. We can but only say, O Emmanuel, how great is thy mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our hearts in closing prayer and benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast fed us with that heavenly manna these days. We thank You that Thou hast uplifted and comforted us, reassured us that we are on the way to salvation, to heaven there with Thee. And we ask, dear Father, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.